Real Moms of Bravo. Real Moms of Bravo. Real Moms of Bravo.
Real Moms of Bravo. Real Moms of Bravo. Hello, happy day. And as we like to say, it's always fun when we get to talk about Summer House. Whew, there's a lot to unpack with this episode. Let's talk about Danielle.
Oh, our sweet, sweet Danny girl. We love you, but your delivery sucks. And I would honestly like to say this to her over drinks. Her intentions are there. It's just that it is really just the delivery of it. I think my favorite part, though, was watching Paige give Danielle advice, knowing Paige is like, I'm really telling you directly how I feel, but I'm going to use it as if Gabby probably feels like this. And it's really more Paige. I just felt like, though, that whole moment was such a shift. It felt like all of a sudden everyone was kind of against Danielle.
It was shitty. It was really, really shitty to watch Gabby. And I really appreciated her kind of saying, and she shared a bit more of this on the after show and Watch What Happens Live, but she's like, you know, I don't cry very often. I most of my friends know I cry like once every 2 years, which, side note, I mean, seems a bit unhealthy.
No, like, cry a little more, like put in the notebook.
That's a whole another can of worms there. However, that reiterates Paige's point even more. Like if you know your friend doesn't cry that much, that would give all more the reason to go in there and not just be like, oh, it's stupid, like it's dumb. And I just, I would like crawl into a hole. We are lucky that we don't get to see our drunk selves and things we've said. Like I've said stupid shit drunk. Like
we all have.
We all have. And we're lucky that we don't have to relive that. So I can only imagine that Danielle is like, hiding.
I agree. I really honestly see where Gabby's coming from. It was like in that moment, it was like everyone was like, go get in there, go flirt with him, like sweep in their back. And it wasn't like, I mean, if you watch it back, Lindsay said, I'm bringing in a guy for really anybody who wants it. It wasn't like this guy is for Gabby and Danielle just like whooshed in there. Was Danielle a lot more aggressive with the flirting? 100%. I mean, that's why I think she ended up banging him that night. But I think for Gabby, it was sort of like, I don't want it. Like there's that whole like rejection mental thing of what's happened in the past. She's like, I don't want to get in a competition with Danielle. And then everyone telling her what to do and the drinking. It's a lot to take in. And then I think it really hits hard then when your friend is like that you're kind of in a competition with, but not is like giving you like trying to give you advice, but it's coming across in a really shitty way. It's just like that's a lot to take on. And I really felt for Gabby in that moment. I think like we've all had moments where it just feels like everyone's saying small things, but it's just the accumulation.
And the feeling that you're the problem.
Yeah. Like why aren't you flirting?
Yes. Like why you're single because you are not doing X, Y, and Z. And yeah, Gabby has her list of demands and whatnot, but a Balloon Joe was not going to be her forever. I mean, I think we all kind of knew that.
Was he going to be anyone's? I don't know.
I think he was like for right now, but not forever. But I just feel like I appreciated her being honest, Gabby finally saying like, this is why I'm upset. And the girls like quickly coming in and the way Paige with her one eye contact fighting, reading Danielle for filth and then going in there. Well, fine. I'll go see, check on your friend.
Yeah. You won't.
And I appreciate a girl's girl in that sense. When you see someone, even if you're not the tightest with them, having a moment and going there and backing them up.
I agree. And then I did also like for Gabby being on the phone with her sister, I feel like that's such a relatable moment. I like when you're younger, more so, I don't feel like I've gotten like, I don't get as many drunk calls from my sisters anymore, but like it's been vice versa. I don't know. I feel like that moment too. Anyone who has grown up with a sister, like you could totally see yourself in a shower crying on speakerphone with your sister. I thought it shows the relationship.
And also her twin. So that like,
yeah,
makes even more sense. I also want to give Paige another nod. Danielle, again, love you.
But CEO
and founder was not needed. And you just gave Miss Giggly Squad herself miles with that. I just, that was not.
Of what?
Needed. She's like,
I think she wanted to throw in a humble brag somehow. Like, you know, you're drunk and you're like, how do I remind people that I'm still doing shit? Like, it was sort of like, but like, I like Paige's response of like, she's not your employee. She's your friend. Like, you need to like, go in there and help her. It made me sad too. I think the next day she obviously was having some remorse and regret because she's like, I just want to give you a big hug. I'm really bummed that we didn't have the cameras though in Montauk, because I would have loved to see what everyone was up to. But
yes, at least cell phone footage. I mean, we saw all the photographs from Montauk. It looked like everyone had a grand old time. Sam, I think, made an appearance. Like, I just wish there was some cell phone footage. We get that sometimes, like in Housewives and moments where after hours and stuff. I would have loved to have seen that. But what's your take on the voice activated lights? I really enjoyed that moment between Kyle and Amanda. I'm actually very tickled by it myself.
I kind of want to try them out. I think that's a really fun thing for a party.
Yeah, I think it would be a really fun thing.
I thought it was really cute. I mean, obviously this is a little bit alcohol infused and it's the end of the night, but when he's like, see, babe, this is all I need. And she's like, I know. Like, I think she was sort of like, I'm not in bed. You know, you're not eating your snack by yourself, listening to Hans Zimmer. Like, you're down here saying boobies into the voice activated lights. Man, everybody though was
horned up
that evening. What? Well, except for Carl and Lindsay.
Except for them. But Danielle got it in.
I was not expecting to see her full butt.
I was not expecting that either. We like to say full moon in this household. I was not expecting that. West trying to get it in, you know, didn't. He got more action, I think, from Derek. Shout out Derek. Sierra's friend and manager than he did from Sierra, but they were making out a lot. Then we had, who else?
Kyle tried.
It felt very relatable in marriage. And
yeah, it's like, end of the night, I'm done. And he's like, but my penis is excited. I love how she just kind of looked at it. You could tell she's like, I don't care.
There's nothing, and I feel like in marriage, I feel like guys are more willing to have sex with a drunk female. Like, marriage, nothing bad.
Right, right. Not really consensual, wrong. Consensual,
yes. Versus like a sober female hooking up with a drunk male. Like, I've had my Kyle, come home like from a night out and like, you know, trying to put it in.
And you're like, no, and this, I'm like, yeah, you're like, I'm asleep or I'm tired. Like, no, it's either have to both be drunk or just the girl has to be drunk. It can't be just the guy. Yeah.
Nope, it cannot.
Or sober. You can also have sex sober. That's not like a...
Yes. You know,
that happens.
Also happens. Okay, so Lindsay and Carl, what were you going to say?
That's what I was transitioning to. So I felt like their conversation actually wasn't that bad. Like, I feel like she was saying, like, I'm not trying to critique you. I'm not trying to, like, make you feel bad, but I think you could be doing more. Like, what do you want to do? I think she was more of like a... you're just kind of being kind of complacent and you're just sort of going with like kind of going through the motions, but you're not actually like taking action steps towards starting a podcast, being a motivational speaker, writing a book, going back to Loverboy. I think for her, she's like, I don't care what you're doing. You could say like, I want to start selling like anklets and I'm going to design custom anklets. And she's like, all right, let's create a business plan. Let's do it. I think she just was wanting more from him. And I felt like she actually said it in a nicer way than what you would have thought based on his conversation about it to Kyle.
Nicer than what I would have said. That's for damn sure.
I'm like, get your ass off the couch. And
I would be like, listen, this wedding's going to be called off if you're not like actually showing movement. However, like, I do feel like she did kind of go in with a manipulative tactic with the stay-at-home mom thing, because in the after show and even on her Watch What Happens Live, she said like she was using it to kind of light a fire in his ass. Like,
hoping you like, that they she wants kid. A family. Yeah.
Yeah. But that really didn't work.
So it honestly made me think her. I think like when she like hearing her say that, particularly on the Watch What Happens Live, I was like, they were never really in step with one another with this. Like, even going back to like Carl wanted to have the wedding sooner. He wanted to do it in like January or February. She didn't. I think she thought by saying like, well, I want to be a stay-at-home mom. He'd be like, well, I want that for you. I want us to have kids right away. I don't think he's thinking kids right away. That's her thing, not his. Like, they're both like not communicating really with one another. And I agree with Kyle. It's like, these seem like conversations you should be having before you get married. Now, that being said, I'm like, Kyle, you and Amanda talked about living in the suburbs and now you're like acting as if this is a whole new information to you. But I feel like, yeah, there's a lot of things they should be saying and should have said to one another this close to the wedding. Like, we're not talking absolutely. Like a year out. We're like a couple months away.
I do feel in watching this, and you guys know I'm saying this as someone who's been a Lindsay apologist, I do feel that Carl has no problem expressing all his feelings to everyone but Lindsay. And when it comes to everything, like just even hearing him talk about, you know, Lindsay's an influencer now and she brings in so much more money than me. And I'm like, boohoo, male.
Well, like, that part, because I was like, she's a girl? No, because she's actually like out there hustling and pitching herself to brands.
Like, I'm like, as someone who's in that space, I was like, nope, not today, bitch. I mean, we're not doing that.
Men can do it too. There's lots of men out there making really good, really good money being, posting some links. Yeah.
Just hearing him talk about that, I was like, okay, let's not get into like a patriarchy conversation here. Like, the fuck. Boo-hoo, Carl. But also just hearing the conversation with his parents, on one hand, I commend his parents for being brutally honest and saying what they feel. I did find it a bit yucky. Again, it feels like Carl sharing very intimate things on camera that should be discussed with Lindsay.
And Lindsay isn't necessarily, like, at this point, she's revealed more on the after shows, but I think she's sort of like, screw you, I've seen what you've said about me. I feel like there's a lot of things that Lindsay isn't really diving into necessarily on camera. Like, I think she is a little bit more media trained or reality TV trained to know like how to give enough without going too deep into stuff. And I'm sure it's things she's learned, you know, some lessons the hard way, just because looking back at old Lindsay. But yeah, I felt like some of the things he was sharing, it's like, would you say this if Lindsay was sitting here? And
yeah.
Probably like, not.
The fact that his mom was like, said something like abusive conversation.
It sounds like abuse. Yeah, he was afraid to say anything.
And then, you know, just talking about her drinking. And it's like, you know, and again, you guys definitely watch the after show because Lindsay shared from her point of view. She's like, you knew I was drinking when you proposed. This is where I get really frustrated with Carl because, listen, Lindsay has her flaws. We can have a whole show on them. She definitely has her flaws. However, it feels like you're telling everyone all these things of how you really feel about the person you're about to marry, except the person you're marrying. Like,
right.
That part I could understand then the blindsided comment, because that would be kind of horrible to hear that conversation, to watch back with your potential in-laws, basically saying, don't do it, or I wouldn't support it. I just, that kind of irks me a bit.
I also feel like too, like I get that it's his stepdad trying to give some like just life advice. And maybe, we don't know, maybe Carl's mom has said like, please, like, this is what I want to say to him, but he's going to hear it better coming from you because like, you know, you've given people like pre-marriage counseling, you know, as they're preparing to get married. But some of it I felt like basically be like, I wouldn't marry you right now. Or like, it sounds like you're not ready. It sounds like you know what to do. I also want to be like, you known Carl like 5 years, you know, it's like, it feels though. I'm like, you're like, and I was kind of surprised. I'm like, I think it's almost like Carl wanted to hear it. And then in hearing it, he was like, well, now I'm going to say like, my stepdad gave me this really great advice and it enlightened me. I don't know. There was like a part of it. I'm like, not that you don't trust or love a step parent as much, or you can't, but like, as someone who's had multiple step parents, I do think sometimes when they give you life advice, you're like, okay, well, you don't know my whole life, or you don't know how, like, there's always like a sense of that. So I was sort of like, we're really quick to be listening to our stepdad. And then saying that, we see the like preview of him saying it back to Lindsay. I'm like, I think you just wanted to say, my stepdad is saying we shouldn't get married, but really it's, I don't think we should get married. He's just kind of like pussyfooting around it.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we've said this before, and it's like, I would be like, roll the tape if we had a fun producer, but you guys know we're rustic here. But I've always felt with Carl calling off the wedding on camera and him having this conversation on camera, to me, it felt like a way to hold himself accountable in a way, which is a hurtful way to, obviously, to Lindsay. But I felt like it kind of held his feet to the fire to like not follow through with it, because it's on camera, it's on tape, you can't go back on it now. That's kind of how I kind of see his decision making. But it's also wild that after this, and we're seeing it in the preview of next week, that he goes to her shower and like, again, is giving all these mixed signals.
Yeah, I feel like for Lindsay, the word blindsided might not be the best. Cause I mean, obviously there's been some red flags. Like, we see like so many conversations of even Paige being like, you know that you don't have to marry him. But I could see the confusion for sure. Like, you're telling me your stepdad thinks we shouldn't get married. Then you're at my shower acting as if you're like this doting fiance. Like, what, which one is it? Like, what is it? And again, there's things that we don't know. Maybe like Lindsay was like super abusive. And so he's afraid. And he's like, if I don't show up and be this fiance, like doting, sparkling fiance, then she's going to be so pissed at me when we get home. And, you know, we don't know all the dynamics, but it does feel like we're almost getting like not a Jekyll and Hyde, but it's like two different versions.
It's two people who shouldn't have ended up married, yes, and thankfully didn't. But I do strongly believe it's so much easier to pinpoint Lindsay and all her issues because she's always just been like that. What you see is what you get with her. I genuinely feel, and I feel like Carl, I don't want to say he's not a nice person, but I feel like because he's rehabbed his image, he's softer, that people aren't willing to believe that he might have a dark side. Yeah. You know what I mean? Manipulation, that his role in this breakup, I guess, is what.
Yeah, it can't be 100% Lindsay. And it very well might be 70-30. I don't know. I don't think we'll ever fully know. Very curious what we hear at the reunion and for how it goes. But we've got a couple more episodes to get through. So before we jump in, though, to even more drama continuing on at the Valley, let's take a little ad break. I want to talk to you guys about Lola V. I can't say enough great things about just the high quality of these products and just the way I feel like it just gets hair, like, you know, Jennifer Aniston is the hair queen. So that's like no big shock there. But I just really feel like when it comes to their products, they understand like the challenges that we face with our hair. For those of you that have more oil prone hair, I've shared how it's really hard finding products that will like moisturize your hair, especially if you color treat it too, without making it feel weighed down and just having to like shower it or just cover it in dry shampoo, which isn't good for the health of your hair either. I love the leave-in conditioner. I put it like mid-shaft down to the ends and then I blow dry it. I feel like it helps my ends not dry out, makes my blowout just look like I almost got it like professionally done. The hair oil is amazing too, especially if your hair is getting a little bit, you know, dry on the ends or you're having some static humidity issues. I was actually using the oil a lot while we were in Charleston to help combat some of the frizz. And it just does a really good job of smoothing out your hair, giving it a little shine without making it look super greasy or weighed down. And I know you guys will love these products too, especially if you're someone who puts your hair through the wringer with coloring, heat styling, stress, even aging as we get older, it takes a toll on your hair. So unlock Jennifer Aniston approved hair at LolaV.com. As our loyal listeners, you'll get an exclusive 15% off your entire order when you use code REALMOMS at checkout. That's 15% off your order at LolaVie.com with promo code REALMOMS. Please note you can only use one promo code per order and discounts can't be combined. After you purchase, they'll ask where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them that Real Moms of Bravo sent you. Your hair will thank you and we will thank you. This message is sponsored by Greenlight. As your kids get older, some aspects of parenting actually get easier. They start to dress themselves. My 7-year-old is not only enjoying packing his lunch in the morning, but asking if he can help pack his brother's lunches too. Other things don't necessarily get easier as they get older, such as that conversation about money. Kids won't really know how to manage their own money until they're in charge of it, and that's where Greenlight can help. Greenlight is a debit card and money app made for families. Parents can send money to their kids and keep an eye on their kids' spending and saving while kids and teens build money confidence and lifelong financial literacy skills. With the Greenlight app, kids learn how to save, invest, and spend wisely thanks to games that teach money skills in a fun, accessible way. The Greenlight app also includes a chores feature where you can set up a one-time or recurring chores customized to your family's needs and reward your kids with an allowance for a job well done. I mentioned that my oldest is enjoying packing his own lunch and wanting to help out by packing his brother's lunches in the morning too. And we've decided, why not reward him every time he does this, make it a part of a, you know, chores for him. And so instead of just giving him money to put in his piggy bank, we're putting it into his account with the Greenlight app. And he's, you know, much more motivated because he's seeing those funds grow and immediately deposited. And we're also then having conversations. If there's things that he wants to buy, we can say, you can use your money for that, and really kind of talk about budgeting and just, you know, the cost of just wants and needs. Join millions of parents and kids that are learning about money on Greenlight. It's the easy, convenient way for parents to raise financially smart kids and families to navigate life together. Sign up for Greenlight today and get your first month free when you go to greenlight.com/realmoms. That's greenlight.com/realmoms to try Greenlight for free. greenlight.com/realmoms.
Shout out to Astapro for sponsoring this episode and providing us with free samples. As you guys know, it is allergy season right now, and I've started using Bayer's Astapro. And I think you guys should check it out too. I don't feel like myself when I'm suffering from nasal allergies. They throw my whole morning off. I tend to sound a little bit different. I sometimes feel like I sound like I'm in a submarine. I'm just not a fan of it at all. But listen, Astapro is a miracle product. It is first of its kind nasal allergy spray. It's the fastest 24-hour over-the-counter allergy spray. It starts working within 30 minutes while other allergy sprays take hours. Astapro is the first and only 24-hour steroid-free allergy spray. Astapro delivers full prescription strength indoor and outdoor allergy relief from nasal congestion, runny and itchy noses, and sneezing. It's amazing. I honestly am like, wow, this is a miracle product. I started asking Abby because she suffers from allergies as well. And I'm like, have you tried Astapro? You've got to try this product. It is great. As stated above, you know, I use Astapro every time my nasal allergies flare up. So here's what you guys need to do. Get fast-acting nasal allergy symptom relief with Astapro. Go to astaproallergy.com for a discount so you can get Astapro and go today. A-S-T-E-P-R-O allergy.com. Again, it's A-S-T-E-P-R-O allergy.com. It's faster and better. So go to Astapro and go. Use as directed for relief of nasal congestion, runny nose, sneezing, and itchy nose due to allergies.
Back to the valley. So many things bring me joy about this series.
Yeah. And remember when you didn't want to watch it?
I know. I was like, we're not covering it. I'm not watching it. I love Jax being like, I'm all about the dollar. He was trying to make it seem like he had this like spot on his hair that he spray painted with. Like he's like with Rust-Oleum spray paint. Like that's what you use for like your patio furniture when it's like rusting. You like spray it black. I'm like, you didn't put that on your head. I also think that might like burn your scalp. But like he's trying to tell this story. And I think everyone's like, yeah, you're just here to make a buck.
But also like good for you.
Yeah, but like hustle, get it.
He's not ashamed of talking about hair thinning. It is a real thing. It's something my husband is dealing with, and it's definitely an opportunity for him to speak candidly. I feel like I've seen someone post a photo of him and I cannot find it, where it does appear to be like a little bit of a bald spot, but it's not as pronounced.
Yeah, I mean, he's got a pretty good head of hair. Now it could, you know, it can start in like the back, like, you know, so it could be like he's like phallic and it's a little thin. But I think my favorite part, and shout out to our friend Danielle Hallabat Cards for like posting about this and like we texting in our text group. Also the fact that the man who like is like president, founder, like running this hair loss company is completely bald.
Yeah.
Like
that. It's, yeah.
Okay. It's, that would be like, I don't know. I like there's certain things where it's like, I don't know. The math ain't mathing. Like I'm not going to go buy that product if a bald guy is telling me it's going to help me with hair loss, especially when saying you have to start early. I'm like, did you start early? Like it's gone for you.
Yeah, no, exactly. We've got questions, but I guess get that check, get that paper. I did feel like it was interesting at that party. You know, we see Jesse talking to the Burning Man chick and Jax like wishing, oh, I wish my wife would wear stuff like that, which I'm like, no, you don't.
Also, it's Burning Man stuff. Like, you're not going to wear that casually to the park with your kids.
Also, like, on one hand, Jax, you're shaming Brittany for, like, going out, having a girls' night out in a safe environment with friends and getting, like, a hangover. But now you're wanting her to show her, like, tits off and her body off. Like, what is it? You, like, come on. Like, you're talking on both sides of your mouth. But to me, I'm like, this is normal Jax behavior. Jesse, I felt like, was clear. I mean, as we saw, learn more in the episode, I feel like he was definitely like trying to poke the bear by flirting with the Burning Man woman. Then they got into those weird outfits. That was a little interesting.
I also love that he said that he's like, you know, looking into different therapies and he's going to try like, I forgot how you say it. It's like
hallucinogens.
And like the word like ayahuasca or something. It's like, I honestly, I've like talked about this. Like I have an interest in like doing microdosing like therapy in a, there's countries where you can do it under like a doctor's supervision. I don't think he was looking at it for that. I think he just wants to try hallucinogens and just wants an excuse. I'm like, you're not trying to save your marriage with this.
Also, homeboy, all you have to do is re-watch yourself if you want to see what you look like. Like,
yeah.
Now better job this reality TV, like, and also the fandom will set you straight real quick if you need to get a vibe of who you are and what is Michelle seeing. And like, we will tell you, and we have no problem telling you. Okay, so before we break down the this amazing fight, I do want to get your take on Jax's studio and Brittany. As a mom, I think a golf cart as your primary vehicle felt very scary to me watching that.
Well, so impractical too. Like, what, are you going to run up to Costco and like load up the golf cart? No.
There's certain communities that I know, like Charleston, for instance, where golf carts are like very prevalent, where you're not driving very far, or like certain neighborhoods. But
yeah, but they're not taking, like, Austin isn't taking his golf cart from downtown Charleston to like Mount Pleasant. Like, there's a on the St. Louis on the Hill, parking is like really impossible. So people will have golf carts so they can just go like half a
mile.
Same
with Soulard. Like, yeah.
Yeah. It makes sense for certain areas, but like to say it's your primary vehicle.
I mean, I don't know if you said that. I may have added that in there, but it just felt
weird. Like implied, like, all we need is this golf cart.
It
like,
was, that part was weird. Okay. So Brittany's trying to get in on, you know, on Jack's Studio City, trying to act like she has a say in everything. And as they're talking, I was kind of laughing at this looking back, but he's like, oh, I'm really stressed. She's like, what's wrong? It's like, I'm just stressed. I'm overwhelmed, like raising a kid, family, mortgage, you know, marriage. And she goes, oh, I get that. And then she immediately like starts to spin it into like, I want a date night and I need romance. Yeah. And then he then says, oh, I feel like I'm going to cry.
Yeah. Like, I think it was like, he's like, I kind of was like, are you guys having the same conversation?
Yes.
I do have a hard time when Jax is like raising a kid. I'm like, you don't seem very hands-on with Cruz, but we'll give you that. I do understand like the pressures of like, we've all had these moments where it's like, I've got a lot to do at work. I've got a lot to do personally. I also want to try to be fun. I want to be there with my kids. I like, there's not enough time in the day. My house is a mess. Like, and then it's like, and then, you know, then an unexpected bill hits and you're like, I don't have enough money. Are we just depleted savings? It's like, I get that snowball. Yeah. But then to say, and then we need a date night. You're just like, oh my God. Like, I could see him being like, the weight of the world is on me, and telling me I need to do more isn't going to be my coping mechanism.
No. Well, and also how crushing would it be to tell your husband that you want to be romanced, and then he's like, I'm going to cry. Like, that is so... That's so bad. Like, that is so...
Not the best, response, but I kind of see where he was coming from, though. Because I feel like if I'm having, like, a mental spiral of, like, all my growing to-do list, and then someone's like, well, also, like, we haven't gone to lunch in a long time, and we used to go to lunch a lot. So, like, we should go to lunch soon. I'd be like, did you just hear what I said?
No, yeah. I get that, but I also am like, that was...
It was bad.
It was bad, so... Anyways, I just wanted to share about that. But, you know, we go at this party, at this hair loss party, we have Mima who shows up, which is nice to kind of see her.
Still always good to see
after
me.
It.
Yeah.
So Michelle approaches Jesse. Jesse's talking to the Burning Man, and it was very weird energy. He clearly, as we learn in his confessional, he cannot filter and like put on a fake pony face. When he had the realization with his therapist that their marriage is over. So on camera, he's like, I can't fake this. Whereas Michelle is like really trying, is like, hey, babe, like husband,
all
like
good.
What's going on? So they go into a reserved room to have their dinner, another kind of dinner from hell.
Yeah.
And
they can't have like a nice dinner on the
show. No, they really cannot on the show. And Jesse is very like, disassociated himself from the room pretty much. He's just not engaging.
He's Meredith Marks it. He is disengaging.
He's disengaging, but Michelle keeps asking. And a part of me is like, don't you
I feel
know?
Like I think she wanted him to like explode, because then it kind of makes her not look like the bad guy.
Yes, I didn't see, like, I could understand why he was like disengaging. So
I would probably be the same way. If it's like, I feel like my marriage is about to end, I'm supposed to pretend like we're like all is good, and I'm sitting here like, I think it'd be hard for me to fake that like for a long period of time.
It'd be hard for me to fake that in front of you if that was weird.
I kind of was like, oh, I get like when he said that, like I'm having a hard time just not telling everybody what's going on.
I'm also surprised he didn't let it explode. So instead he decides to be the asshole that he is. So people are like, are you having a good time? And so he starts just being a dick. And so then we have Kristen and Luke having a side conversation about how big of a douchebag he is and how she's like, I don't want to sit here at another dinner. Like, I do feel like Kristen was trying to have like a boundary for herself by removing herself from the situation until that didn't work.
And she was kind of brought in, whether she liked it or not. And I just like, honestly, I was like, I had to go rewatch these parts back like over and over again. Cause I was like, wait, how did we get to this point where we're screaming in the hallway? It just felt like all of a sudden we're screaming, but basically all of a sudden we're screaming in the hallway. And it's Jesse and Michelle talking about how like, look what you're doing to your family, our family, look what you're doing to us. You made a note of this and I felt the same way. Like when Kristen's like, I'm protecting you, like to Michelle, like, stop pushing me with this. Stop, like, tell Jesse to call it off. Like, I don't want to have to say what I think I need to say. I'm going to keep protecting you. And when she said, stop with this protecting stuff. And like, you know, was basically, it almost made me think like, does Michelle not know that Kristen knows something? Like,
regardless of people say she's lying or not, it's like, bitch, have you not seen this girl on Vanderpump Rules?
She's an artist.
Yeah.
Like, I also love when she was like, he said he's going to divorce you in 2 months. And Jack's like, that's completely not true. It's the other way around. Yes. So he was like, no, Kristen wasn't like 100% right, but she's not also like 100% wrong. I loved though when she like slipped and like basically on her confessional was like, she has a boyfriend.
Yes. It was like, oh my God. So then we have Zach like in the middle, like the fight, he gets hit. Around. You know, Luke is like upset. Then Luke and Kristen are like fighting or not fighting, like decompressing from what just happened. She's like, I'd rather be on Vanderpump Rules and fine. Like, she's had a boyfriend for a year and she says it. And I'm just like, oh, she lit that fire and like walked away, put that shit on camera.
I think Kristen's telling the truth.
She, I do too.
I like, let us not forget, guys. She's crazy for sure. She hasn't told too many lies when she's backed into a corner. She lied originally about sleeping with Jax, but then came clean. Miami girl, 100% happened. Ariana was covering for it. We learned about that. Like, it's like, everyone's like, oh my God, she brought this girl from Miami in to like confront Sandoval. And it's like, well, yes, that was crazy, but it wasn't a lie, you know? So it's like, you can't, I don't know. I feel like, you know, Kristen's learned a lot from her.
And I think also given the fact that we know they're no longer together, also coupled with the rumor of the director at the Chateau Marmont, like, so it's giving legs to the validity to Kristen telling the truth here. So I just was like, holy shit, that escalated so quickly, was a brilliant 5 minutes of reality TV. I feel like it's been a minute since I've seen something like been surprised by watching all these people interact.
I mean, and it was giving me like Salt Lake City back at the beach.
Yes.
Like it was just like, whoa. Like you're just watching this like, oh my God.
Like what is happening? And all these people are batshit.
As big of a like bombshell as that, I'm like, bring on this next episode. Like I'm just sort of like, I cannot get enough. We don't get screeners. If I could get screeners of this, I would watch the whole season over and over and over again.
Oh, it's so good. And I think one of the things I was actually talking to our friend Christina, shout out to Christina, about this. And I said, one of the things that makes a show so good is the fact that these people genuinely do have friendships with each other, whether they're healthy friendships or not. That's a whole nother discussion, but they do genuinely seem to hang out, and that brings the best TV at, unfortunately, friendships will end because of it, but it also makes brilliant, brilliant television. So we're going to do a little backwards. So on The Valley, we had Schwartz make an appearance. So now we're going to talk VPR, where we had Jax and Brittany make an appearance. And it felt so right to me to have them back. Jax is a fucking menace, but
it was a good little TV crossover. Yeah.
It was a great crossover. I love that production called him an ex-Sir employee, but Brittany didn't have that edit either. James being team Katie is everything. So Jax is coming over. They're talking about their brunch that they're doing, a see you next Tuesday or whatever they're calling it. And he starts talking about like rumors and Katie and like, is Katie going to be there and all this shit. And James is like, no, dude, like she's not saying this stuff. He's having her back.
Which I love that. Was really great. I mean, evolution of James, number one guy in the group. I agree. I think I kind of loved the dynamic of Jax is like, you know, like acting like I'm top dog and let me tell you how things are going. And James is like, dude, I'm bringing you into this. I'm not going to let you like stir up shit with the people I like. I'm not going to get caught talking shit. Like I've grown. I've matured. What did you think of the Sheena, you know, as she was like kind of talking with Brittany about the whole, like her discussion about not being sure if she wants another kid, her and Brock, like all the, I feel like she's just like in it really deep right now. And I don't think filming is helping her.
No, I think the anxiety, everything that happened with Scandoval, her being like mind fucked with her friendships, coupled with her issues with her relationship and her OCD, postpartum OCD, also coupled with she had postpartum preeclampsia plus help. She and I had the same thing. I thankfully knew at that moment with my pregnancy, that was my last child. I would imagine she's grieving the fact that that choice was made for her and doesn't want to be relive that again. She's had definitely has some PTSD. I do hope that she is having some sort of therapy of some kind. Nothing against like holistic medicine, like do all of that. I do feel like it is healthy to kind of talk through your fears and your emotions with someone and kind of help having them kind of walk you through that. So I hope she's getting that type of support. But no, I don't know if I don't see her stopping reality TV, but it doesn't feel healthy.
I also think for Sheena, I will not be surprised if in a couple of years they use a surrogate. I think for her caring again, it just like there's a very high risk, you know, that she would have preeclampsia again, would have issues. I think, yeah, like the PTSD, but it does seem like she isn't like done necessarily growing her family. I felt like she was saying like, well, I know once Brittany has another, although at this point, I don't think it's gonna be a Jax, you know, and then she's like, and then, you know, Lala has another baby. She's like, I just could see myself like, you know, wanting that for Summer.
I can see that. Do you think Summer she was putting on actual mascara on Summer?
No. Okay. First of all, Summer was like looking down, her eyes were closed. So I'm like, you would get mascara on her skin. And we did. But a lot of people were like really triggered by this. I thought it was like fake makeup.
I have fake makeup for my girls and my girls play with my sponges and I like them play with my sponges.
I have like a setting powder, bigger, like fluffy makeup brush, and it has like translucent powder on it.
And
I think it was the same thing. I think it was fake. What did you think about Brittany saying there was a time when she made more than Jax?
Well, I guess, I mean,
like that Jenny Craig money is all I can think.
I would agree with that. But also I would be like, damn, Brittany, maybe you got to like, don't get in a Teresa Giudice situation with your man who's been on TV for so damn long and has nothing to show for it. Like,
Protect that coin,
people. Like, invest your money, put away savings. Like, this goes to show of like, you know, tales old as time, people living beyond their means. We're riding on the coattails of the show, the check of the show. Then they get fired and all of a sudden they have nothing to show for it. So on that hand, I guess I get the stress that we're talking about Jax. But that was unexpected.
Andy's like number one thing he says to everyone when they get started on reality TV, particularly the younger kids. He's like, be smart with your money. Don't go out and spend it all away. Like this check can end faster than you realize. This isn't like a guaranteed for 10 years you're going to be making this money. I mean, I think, you know, Brittany and Jax fell a little bit of victim to that. I can't explain it. Like, it's so weird as I like try to explain it. I'm like, it's not going to work. And I can't walk you guys through my thought process properly, but somehow Katie and Tom Schwartz as friends just works. Like when they both texted the girl and like to see who texted back, like I'm like, why am I enjoying this? This is not healthy, but in a way it almost is because they're both kind of like at peace with the fact that like they're not together and they're both living their single life.
I also think she's just, Katie is like free of that burden
of
Tom. And I mean, I'm sure they had moments of their marriage where it was like pleasantries like that. So I'm kind of glad that we're getting to see more of that versus like Katie so mad and like yelling at Katie. Tom. Yeah. But I enjoyed it. And honestly, the next episode where you're saying they should have a one night stand, I was like kind of dying, but also oddly into it.
And I was like, do it. Do it for us viewers. Come on.
Do it for us.
It'd be no feelings involved. It would just be to like get a good lay. I was kind of like, oh, I could see.
Yes. Yes. Okay. Can we also acknowledge, I do want to give Brock a shout out. So him and Sheena are celebrating their anniversary. He she basically straight up is saying, like, do you feel like you have a second chance at fatherhood with Summer? And in his confessional, he was very candid about basically how shitty of a daddy is to his other two kids.
That his fault
and that he's working on that relationship. And I just felt like I feel like there's so many people out there who probably relate to that situation to a varying degree. And I just thought it was nice to see someone who took some accountability for their role in that.
Especially, we always say, like, your kids are going to see this one day. Like, your kids could watch this, or your kids' friends are going to see this. And I can't imagine the sort of just pain and psychological effect it would have on his kids, knowing that, like, our dad, it was the best thing for him not to be involved in our lives. That's a really hard thing, especially when you're young, to understand. You're going to feel like it's your fault, the rejection. There's, like, so many studies on this. However, I do think as they grow older, if they were to watch that clip, they could at least be like, at least he realized or knew that, like, he messed up. It was better for their mental health and for their mom's mental health for him not to be involved. And he's going to work on himself and hope to get back there someday. And I think he even said, like, I hope they give me the opportunity. It was sort of like, I'm not going to put it on them. Like, they owe me a second chance. But it was like, I hope they give me the opportunity one day to try to build a relationship with them. I don't know. I just thought that was like, if I saw that, obviously you're still pissed at your dad. It doesn't undo all the
trauma. Yeah, no, absolutely.
But I think you could see it from a place of like, he knew that like at that moment, he wasn't meant to be a good dad.
No, I 100%. Okay, Jax versus Lisa. So Lisa is feeling a bit cheeky, and I love how she pretended to not know that Jax is going to.
Yeah, is that Jax? What is he doing here?
What's he doing? Come on.
It was promoted, Lisa.
Yeah, it was promoted. I mean, Jeezy pretended like, yeah, I did approve it, but he's also like, wink, wink, you know about this. Yeah. Stop acting like you don't. But, you know, Jax basically is like, what's the point of Lisa on the show anymore? And basically has said what we're saying. Say what you want about the man. Some of his unfiltered opinions I do agree with. And that one is one of them. And he tried to make amends and apologize. And we all know he didn't mean it. But I did agree with his comment.
I was like, he's not wrong. Lisa isn't really needed to be there. Like, she's not, like, we've all been saying, like, why is Lisa still part of Vanderpump Rules? Like, we can do this without Lisa. So I was like, I mean, Jax isn't wrong. But then, like, I feel like there were so many moments of this whole, like, situation and this brunch and then, like, the party, then back at James's, that was just, like, what a whirlwind. I just have to say, missing your girlfriend's friend's wedding and that your girlfriend is in the wedding because of a dog, I'm really Team Allie on this one. I get being, like, it's a dog. I know he feels like he can't just leave him. But you can't. I was like, you can't miss the wedding because you can't find someone to watch the dog.
No, it's stupid. It was honestly stupid. I would have lit his ass up trying to compare a dog to a child. Sorry. Yeah. I want to apologize. Sorry. That was apologize for dog parents. I love dogs, but I don't feel like it's the same. And I just am surprised they didn't go harder in on him on that
particular thing. Yeah. I think maybe there was more that was cut, or maybe it was just like, well, we know that, like, at the end of the day, Jax isn't who we need to be, like, arguing with.
No.
And then, so then we, like, go, it's, there's, like, a, you know, party at James's house with Allie, and Jax is there. I did think it was really interesting that Jax is like, I'm off duty. My wife told me to have fun. I'm like, oh, so you can have fun. But mm-hmm. when she does it, but I was like, you know, that is what it is. The Sheena Sandoval whole, like, argument fight. There's so many aspects of this. I don't think it's fair to blame Sandoval to say that, like, because of you cheating, I now don't trust Brock with Lala, like, because those rumors are getting in my head. I think some of that is more, like, we talked about, like, some of the mental things that she's going through. But his comment back was so below the belt and so wrong. And, like, there's also, I feel like, you know, at the time, where, like, she was 21, she had this affair. Oh, my God. But, like, now being older, and I think we're having, like, a different view on these things. She was 21. Like, he was quite a bit older. This is Brandy's ex-husband, Eddie. I mean, in some ways, you're like, this borderline, like, predator, like,
well, taking advantage, you know, of someone.
Like, yeah, and she was young and naive.
Didn't know that she was married, or she claims to not have known. Yeah. James, same thing James said before. Why are you bringing up stuff from the past as your receipts?
Yeah.
Like, no. And
from
also,
that long ago.
That was the launch of the show. Your career now.
You're talking about, like, 12 years ago.
I mean, yeah. I wish Sheena had it in her little James energy to be like, well, you're welcome for having this show now.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
you'd be nowhere had I not done that.
So yeah.
Enjoy where your white nail polish.
Yes.
Like, yeah.
I would have loved to have seen that. But honestly, I am enjoying this. I feel like
I have one other thing.
Yeah.
I have to share. I know we're going a little over on this episode, but I've seen a lot of tweets on this and I was having the same thought. So I was glad other people were. Lala and Sheena kept being like, just watch this season and you'll see a different Ariana. You'll see how like the fame gets to her head and she wasn't really present. She's not really there. She's gone to so many events knowing Sandoval is going to be there. She was having a conversation with Schwartz and Schwartz was even kind of trying to be like, hey, like, I just want you to know, like, you know, Tom wants me to move in. I'm not going to do it. But if I did, I'll... And she was like, hold on a minute when she heard Sheena yelling and immediately goes to Sheena's aid. Against a guy that she can't stand and is trying to avoid. And I'm like, maybe there's something more to come, but I am not seeing this like big headed. I'm not like, I'm too good for this show. I'm done with all of you. I'm too wrapped up in my own stuff to be a good friend. Like, I'm not seeing that side of Ariana at all.
No.
It's like kind of wild. I'm like, okay, when you said watch, we'll see. I'm like, well, we're kind of seeing that you guys are all being seeing dicks.
That. Yeah. Yeah. Couldn't have said it better. Myself. Well, that kind of wraps up this episode. I want to give my shout out. I'm going to give my shout out to Nikki. We had the pleasure of meeting you in Charleston. We are always constantly humbled by you guys who have been always been a supporter of us listening to this little show that it's getting more and more legs. So we are deeply grateful for that. So thank you, Nikki, and to all of you who listen week after week and support us.
So mine's a little bit like heavier, but I want to give my shout out to all of the women who came forward and stood up against Harvey Weinstein, only to then have that thrown in your face. Like, I think there's so many layers on why this is so frustrating and so upsetting. Cause it's like, well, the victims won't talk, or it was only one person, you know, you need to get more to corroborate your story. And it's like, okay. And then you're told like, oh, there's too many of them. So we're going to throw out the case. It's so messed up. But I want to say to these women who came forward, you really did an amazing job. You're so brave. To other women, keep coming forward. I mean, the whole thing is so ridiculous, but I think it's a movement to try to maybe silence women in these situations and don't let that stop you.
Yeah.
Keep coming forward.
Believe women. Yeah. And with that, thank you guys so much for your support. You guys know what to do. Scroll down, hit 5 stars, leave a written review. We've got fun things up our sleeve. And in order to make that happen, we need to have your continued support. And with that, make it a great day or don't. The choice is yours.
Seeking the truth never gets old. Introducing June's Journey, the free-to-play mobile game that will immerse you in a thrilling murder mystery. Join June Parker as she uncovers hidden objects and clues to solve her sister's death in a beautifully illustrated world set in the roaring 20s. With new chapters added every week, the excitement never ends. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.